The Holy Gospel is recorded in the 9th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. About 8 days after he said these words, Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothing became dazzling white. Just then, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They appeared in glory and were talking about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. Peter and those with him were weighed down with sleep, but when they were completely awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not realize what he was saying. While he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were afraid as they went into the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, they found Jesus alone. They kept this secret and told no one in those days any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention to Luke chapter 9. I'll read verses 30 and 31 again. Just then, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with them. They appeared in glory and were talking about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. This is the word of our God. And so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, people will talk about the need to be able to make an entrance. When you come into a room, you have to scan the room, look confidently, make eye contact, have a goal in mind, know what you're doing, and greet people warmly as you speak to them and move toward that goal, making an entrance. Of course, it's all about drawing attention to me. Everybody see me. Everybody know that I'm here. Look who's here, everybody says, making an entrance. Well, Jesus did something today in our gospel lesson that certainly drew attention to him. But what he drew attention to wasn't his entrance. What he was drawing attention to was rather his exit. And boy, did Jesus know how to make an exit. We see that today in this transfiguration text from Luke chapter 9. Jesus knows how to make an exit. He wasn't afraid to talk about it, nor was he afraid to bring it to fulfillment. It's a very familiar account from Luke chapter 9. Luke tells us that this happened just 8 days after a conversation about his cross and the disciples' cross that he was having with them. Now, about a week later, on this transfiguration, Jesus appears in dazzling glory, along with Moses and Elijah, also in glory. And Jesus has a discussion with them. But he's talking with them about something that we wouldn't consider very glorious. We would think it's rather inglorious. Just then, two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They appeared in glory and were talking about his departure, which he was going to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem. What departure is this? The word is literally exodus. And in the context of a conversation with Moses and Elijah, you could probably think of a pretty glorious exodus that he could be talking about and remembering. "Hey, Moses, you remember that time when we had that glorious exodus from the land of Egypt? We sent 10 plagues on Egypt, and finally they were so angry they got rid of the entire nation, and we exited Egypt." That would be a glorious exodus to talk about indeed, one worth remembering. But that's not the exodus, the departure that they were talking about. They were talking about another exodus that was about to take place in Jerusalem, an exit by Jesus, his departure. Well, what was about to happen in Jerusalem? What exit was Jesus about to make happen there? Well, it was no secret, even at that time before it happened, what was going to take place, because Jesus had just spoken very specifically about that exodus just 8 days earlier, right before our text. Just 6 verses before this text, there Jesus spoke very freely and very frankly about his coming exodus, his departure in Jerusalem. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and experts in the law. He must be killed and be raised on the third day." Yes, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, in all glory, with Moses and Elijah appearing in glory, he talks about his death. And he wasn't afraid to talk about it either. This exit, this departure to be fulfilled in Jerusalem, would be through his death on the cross. And yes, he would make a departure and exit again as he would depart that tomb, as he rose victoriously from the dead, and exit again from this world, his physical presence, as he would ascend into heaven just 40 days after that day of his death on that hill outside of Jerusalem. Talk about making an entrance. Jesus would make an exit. And that's an exit worth talking about. But we think, how glorious could that be? Why would the topic of conversation in a glorious transfiguration on a mountaintop be about death? We're afraid of it. We're saddened by it. We're ashamed of it. Because it reminds us of our own sin. What causes it in the first place? It reminds us of the inescapability of our own mortality. And it brings back sadness over all of our losses throughout our life, even as we look forward to that impending death for ourselves. How could Jesus talk about it here in a moment of glory with Moses and Elijah? Well, it's because Jesus' death was going to be glorious. Jesus' death was going to put an end to death, was going to defeat death itself. Jesus' death, his exodus, his departure, which was about to take place in Jerusalem in a few short months, was going to be the nail in the coffin of death forever. Yes, by Jesus' death, he was going to destroy that work of the devil. By death, he was going to fling wide the graves of all of his believers forever. It's no wonder Jesus wasn't ashamed or afraid to talk about his exit. He knew how to make an exit. And because of that, we're not afraid to talk about it either. We can be confident in the discussion about death, to speak with Jesus like Moses and Elijah did. Yes, they had exited from this earth too. One departed by death, another a more glorious exit in a chariot of fire, but they exited nonetheless. But they weren't gone. No, just the opposite. They were in glory. Because of that one with whom they were talking, because of that transfigured one that day, they too were in glory. Yes, though they had died or departed from this life, they lived. And they were living in that eternal glory of heaven. That's the glory that we rejoice to have too, as believers with Jesus. And this makes a discussion of death an easy one. One, like Jesus, we're not afraid to have. Because Jesus knew how to make an exit. So he wasn't afraid to talk about that exit. And by faith in Jesus, we know how to make an exit too. An exit in faith in him. Sadly, in this conversation, where were his disciples, Peter, John, and James? Luke tells us that they were very sleepy. Literally, they were weighed down with sleep. Likely, They missed the entire conversation that Moses and Elijah had with Jesus on this very subject. It seems that only when Moses and Elijah were about to leave did Peter finally join the conversation. But instead of being informed from the master teacher Jesus, who knows all about his exit and ours, Peter demonstrated his ignorance. He missed the whole conversation. Instead, he said, "Let's stay here." The opposite of an exit. The opposite of faith and confidence in the glory to come. But what's so wrong with that? Well, did Peter really think that he was going to build a tent that would be worthy of Jesus in all of his glory? And Moses and Elijah were already in possession of a mansion, the eternal dwelling that God had prepared for him, that Jesus had prepared for them. Yes, they appeared on that mountaintop with those disciples, but they didn't leave the glory to be there. They remained in glory too, along with that glory that Jesus was now displaying. Luke tells us just then two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking with him. They appeared in glory. They were already in glory, and that appearance was glorified too. Did Peter think that he could improve on that for them? Surely it was good for Peter to see that glory, but was it good for Moses and Elijah? Could Peter's earthly tent possibly enhance that glory for them? Could it even contain it? How foolish. But more than that, he missed the purpose of the conversation. In his sleepiness, he missed the whole point of Jesus' glorious presence on this earth. He was here so that he could go to Jerusalem and die. He was here to suffer and give up his life on this earth. He was here for the purpose of departing. And that departure would bring salvation to all. Was Peter standing in the way of that? Was Peter going to foil that plan for Jesus, for himself, and for all people? That was what he was saying. Friends, how often are we too sleepy to see the glory of Jesus' plan for us? Yeah, we show our sleepiness when we choose sports, or family, or friends, or work, or vacation, or a weekend to sleep in favor of hearing the conversation that God has for us. We show our sleepiness when we jettison devotions or Bible studies for the hectic busyness of this week. There's no time for God. There's no time to devote. There's no time to pause and to think and to thank. And we have fallen asleep to the message. Asleep to the glorious work that Jesus is here to accomplish for us. But Jesus, look at Jesus. Not only is he not afraid to talk about his death, more than that, he will let nothing stand in the way of his accomplishing that very sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Not Peter urging him to stay there. Not the comfort of a glorious conversation with Moses and Elijah. Not in the pride and arrogance of being God's chosen one, as Luke's text tells us. "This is my son, the one I have chosen," in some texts read. God's beloved son. Nothing, not even that, would deter Jesus from his mission of descending that mountain of glory, so that he could ascend another mountain of hidden glory, the hidden glory of the cross. This Lenten season that we're about to begin, we're gathering at our Wednesday services under the theme, "Behold the Hidden Glory of the Cross." Today, the glory is not hidden. It's revealed for all to see that this Jesus is the Son of God. But he's not ashamed to talk about his hidden glory, his departure. And when we begin that journey on Wednesday, Yes, that glory is still there, but it's hidden. Just like Jesus at the end of this text, after the voice had spoken, they found Jesus alone. Gone is the voice, gone is the cloud, gone are Moses and Elijah, and by all appearances, gone is the glory of Jesus' shining face and clothes. But the glory's not gone. It's the same Jesus. And he will be glorious as he triumphs over all sin for us. He will be glorious as he triumphs over death for us. But all of that glory will remain hidden. Hidden in suffering. Hidden in shame. Hidden in pain and sadness and fear and death. Hidden. But the glory is not gone. Because this is our glorious Jesus, and he is one who is not afraid to bring that glorious departure, that glorious exit, to fulfillment in Jerusalem by his death on the cross. So he goes. And should we be surprised? No. Should we be ashamed? No. Should we be fearful? No. Should we be hesitant to talk about this exit, death? Are we afraid of our own death? No. Not that we ever want to do anything to hasten that day. We know who is in control of our lives. It's this same Jesus who is in glory. And he's in control of our departure from this life just as certainly as he's in control of bringing it to be in this life in the first place. But Jesus was not afraid to talk about and to bring to fulfillment his exit. So we do not fear or shun or shudder at our own departure. No, Jesus' exit gives us an entrance. The perfect entrance. The glorious entrance into heaven. Not a place made by us for God to dwell in. But a place made by God for us to dwell in. The glory of heaven. A glory and splendor about which we are not afraid to talk about, nor to bring to fulfillment. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.